This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
And there's only one thing that I'm afraid of, and that's the people in elected office taking away my rights. I'm not afraid of the crook that's going to come to my door, because if my dogs don't get him, I will. And it's my job to defend myself. It's not your job to protect me. It's not your job to defend me. It's your job to protect the Constitution and protect my rights to defend myself.
2110.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
New government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat
and put on the Kevlar.
It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? I suspect you are. That's why you're listening to this radio show. So welcome aboard. We got a lot of things going on here on Agenda 21 Radio. We've been talking about the draft. Are you a draftable age? You could be drafted into the military. I mean, you could. It's just a possibility. They're actually researching this right now, whether or not there's going to be an actual draft where people are going to be coming up in the military. Also, many, many demonstrations that are going on around the nation right now, and there's a couple of them in California, and everybody's saying, Paul, you need to be protesting. Get New California out there to protest. And we're saying, no, it's a contrived protest. You know, the key thing with Saul Alinsky or with any of these, the progressives, create a crisis, then manage the crisis. They've got a crisis. They've created it, done a great job in doing that. Now they're going to manage their crisis by managing you, by actually managing you about what you're doing as part of the crisis itself. Here's the clue. Here's the tell about the demonstration that's being featured today in Sacramento, California. I just want to let you know that when you take a look at the nonprofit organization that's behind it, it's a nonprofit that's sponsored by who? Bill Gates. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a clue. So the chances are good if you've got 1,000 people going down there that your pictures are going to be taken, well, you know, by the Chinese and utilized. Because, you know, you got to remember that the California state government, the CHICOMs, are working together. So facial recognition, yes, it's going to happen to you. Now, why would they want to take your pictures? Shocking. I don't know why. Maybe in the future they might want to do something with those pictures of you. Anyway, we got a lot of things going on and more and more coming out about this whole COVID virus scandal, the scam, if you will, as we call it. It's amazing what we're digging up, but this is something that we're pointing out in the last couple hours that it is a scam. It's the more evidence is just churning up. It's a contrived scam. But, you know, who are the scammers behind this? And this is the key thing that we're starting to find more out. And with us is Scott Adams, who's done some fabulous research in this whole area. And, Scott, this whole coronavirus COVID-19 business has really got everybody scammed, doesn't it? Are you there, Scott? Oh, I hear books in the background. We don't have a delay on this one. Are you there? Oh, I don't know. Let's see. Why you got text going on here? No audio. Ah, okay, wait a minute. I think I know why there's no audio. How about maybe I turned it off on my computer? There you go. So I'm gonna buy some time. Scott's sitting there go, there's no audio. It's my end, there's no audio, it's with me. And I think we're gonna get that audio rocking and rolling here in a second. So anyway, we've got how about that one? Can you hear me now, Scott?
Yes, I can.
All right. Okay. Well, you got to flick the right switches here, bells and whistles as it goes. Anyway, yeah. You heard my introduction, I think, didn't you?
No.
Okay. I was talking about you and being able to come up with the information about the COVID virus hoax, more information that's a little bit deeper so we can understand all the little nuances and the connect the dots, more people being connected to Fauci and Bill Gates.
Yes, I've been doing a lot of investigation on that. Am I coming through loud and clear?
You're perfect, yep.
Okay, good. And so, you know, there's a Khashoggi connection to this. It's really interesting. Imad Khashoggi, actually, it's actually involves a little bit of, surrounds a ship as well. But you know, remember when Trump had to sell his ship?
Yeah.
He had a big yacht.
Yeah.
Okay, this was a yacht that was built in 1980. And this yacht was owned by the Khashoggi family. And it was a big, huge yacht. And he sold it to the Mohammed Khashoggi had many grandchildren. Dodi Fayed was one of them. Mm-hmm. Princess Diana. Then there's Imad. His father was a gun runner, you know, basically sold major weapons distributions.
Right.
And then Jamal Khashoggi, he was good friends with Bin Talal. And together, they sold the boat to, they ran into some financial hardship, and they ended up selling it to the Sultan of Brunei, who turned around and sold that boat in 1991 to Donald Trump. This boat was built in 1980. They bought it for $100 million. They sold it to Donald Trump for $29 million. But then Donald Trump ran into some hardship money, and he sold it to Bin Talal for $20 million. That was an interesting wrinkle, right?
Right.
And he sold it in 1991, I believe. That's when he sold it. Now, Bin Talal is business partners with Bill Gates, and together they bought out, they spent $3.8 billion in the Four Seasons. The Four Seasons, very famous, right? Very popular.
Right.
So there's that connection, but they were involved with setting up a vaccine center out of Harvard in a research lab. And also, unlike Trump, who also knew Epstein, the Epstein family, because at one point, it was Imad Khashoggi sold the boat to Robert Maxwell. And then the Maxwell sold it to the Sultan of Brunei. Brunei sold it to Trump. Trump sold it to Bin Talal. That's how that went. And Bin Talal is connected with financing Obama's education. There's a picture of Bin Talal when he was young, hanging out with Obama. And in addition to that, He's a business partner with Bill Gates. He was one of the people that was held up in the Ritz-Carlton when Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman put them all up in jail, because Saudi Arabia has its own deep state. And for the longest time, I have been really wondering about these odd connections, because Obama, for example, was in bed with Saudi Arabia and Bin Talal. So how could he be so in bed with Iran? You got the Shias and the Sunnis hating each other, right?
Supposedly.
But the way it works is like just like Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi and Maxine Waters and, you know, all these people are in love with China and in love with our enemies, like in Iran, and they right. love the Muslims. You know, even the radical Islamic Muslims, they love them, right? They give them all kinds of carte blanche. They protect the illegals more than they protect the citizens. You think, okay, that's upside down. That's thinking, you know, black is white is black, up is down, you know, that kind of thing. Well, one would get that same confusion if they were to listen to Adam Schiff talk for an hour, right?
Yeah, stoner logic, I call it.
Yeah. So the idea is that in Saudi Arabia, that's why it was so important about this whole relationship with Crown Prince Salman, right? And Trump understood the dynamics there. And so, you know, everybody was wondering, why was everybody crying about Jamal Khashoggi's death? Well, it's because Jamal Khashoggi is photographed over 100 times with Bin Talal.
Oh, God.
Who financed Obama's education, the guy that's in bed with business up with Four Seasons and vaccines with Bill Gates. He's a globalist. He's basically part of the deep state in Saudi Arabia, and they were all put up in a prison in the Ritz-Carlton.
Right. I remember that. I remember hearing about that, right.
And so when you think about then the angle from Lindsey Graham, who was really upset that Trump didn't take the murder of Jamal Khashoggi seriously enough, that we should end our relationship with the Saudi king and the prince, right? Crown prince. Mm-hmm. He wanted to go back to business as usual, leave our troops on the ground in there, basically overthrow Syria because we hate Russia. Policy and the whole thing with Khashoggi, because they never gave any care or concern to James Foley, who was beheaded, right? Remember when Obama right. just went off and golfed with Alonzo Mourning 5 minutes after the announcement? The point is that there's a reason why you have these, you know, alliances and these non-alliances. There's a reason for that, and that was the destabilization of the Middle East, creating a vacuum in Iraq, creating a windfall for Iran, destabilizing Egypt with the Muslim Brotherhood and Morsi, destabilizing Syria and, you know, pushing back against Russia because they drew up the battle lines there. And so James Khashoggi, part of this Khashoggi family, their grandfather, Muhammad, as I said, was the grandfather of Dodi, Imad, and Jamal Khashoggi. And he was the medical doctor for the king once upon a time. He was born in 1889, died in 1979. So he lived a long life. But the people that are in his downline are basically the deep state against the current regime in Saudi Arabia today. So it answers a lot of questions when we learn about this pandemic, Bill Gates and what he wants to do with vaccines, his business partner in Bin Talal, and his connection with Jamal Khashoggi, and their hatred of the current leadership roles in Saudi Arabia. And that's how you can explain all of these things. That's why they were able to endorse what America was doing with Iran under the Obama regime. Even though they were Shia, they had a vested interest in doing business throughout Europe that was good for them and not necessarily good for Saudi Arabia.
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up in that context, and a lot of people don't understand the rift that goes on between the Sunnis and the Shia Muslims. This is a common rift amongst them that, you know, we in America just don't understand. But they hate each other, but, you know, they hate America worse together. that's the other part of that, and it's very diabolical towards America, both of them. But it seems that there are Sunnis that are very tolerant of America and like America, but then you have the activated ones that simply been through the whole educational system there in the Wahhabist system in Saudi Arabia, and they become, of course, very bitter and hateful towards the United States. The Wahhabist system was actually set up by the Muslim Brotherhood, which the Muslim Brotherhood has roots with Adolf Hitler and the guy who, I can't remember the guy's name, in Egypt. And, you know, this back goes as far back as 1928, where the Muslim Brotherhood was created. So there's some real long lineage and roots there. But the hatred that they have towards America is enormous. Now, I'm trying to get my arms wrapped around the Gates connection here, and the advantage for him to be friends with such people.
Well, money and a like-minded ideology. But if you were to go on my Twitter or Facebook page, you'll see I have a video. I have a video of it's number 11 on my threaded tweet, and it's a video from 2012 in Dubai where Bill Gates met with Obama's friends and Crown Prince's Mohammed bin Salman's adversaries, and that would be Saudi Prince Al-Waleed bin Talal. Sitting also at the table was, guess what, Jamal Khashoggi.
Oh boy.
And also the guy that's that was the chairman of Four Seasons, his name's Isidore Sharp. And they were there to discuss not only the investment into Four Seasons, which would be considered money laundering, a money laundering opportunity, but they were also at the same time pushing a vaccine partnership in part at Harvard. Now, unlike Trump, who disengaged with Epstein once he found out in 2005 that Epstein was up to a lot of these things, and Epstein got arrested in 2009 and was imprisoned. He was convicted, prosecuted. It was after that that people like bin Talal and Jeffrey Epstein were meeting up with Bill Gates. Jeffrey Epstein was working with MIT and Harvard, not just with vaccines, but doing a lot of mind control, like MK Ultra stuff, psyops, mind manipulation related to search engines, because the Maxwells were connected to the early stages, the precursors to the Google. And what Google was doing with regard to mind control, they were having huge studies on this stuff. It was very interesting that you can get into this whole lineage. Then there's the other aspect of it, which is the Global Fund. And we know that Deborah Birx was head of PEPFAR, but the guy who was in charge of Global Fund is a guy named Mark Dybul. And Mark Dybul and Anthony Fauci together were the ones that formulated, set up the presidential PEPFAR group that was related to HIV and AIDS, which Bill Gates, if you recall, back in the 80s and 90s, was huge, in the 90s, hugely invested. We are the world, one world, one globe, the flag of the European Union is a circle of stars. It's basically one world circle, right? So the Global Fund was actually involved with transferring funds into Ukraine. And we know that we saw the letters between Deborah Birx and Marie Yovanovitch. You know that, right?
Right.
You're aware of that, right?
Right.
Okay. So there's a connection going there. And by the way, this whole thing, Anthony Fauci owns patents that could cure, that actually have an impact like hydroxychloroquine does. He has patents on cures for these things.
Right.
And not only that, but with vaccines. He has a whole bunch of patents on vaccines, and he and Bill Gates have been photographed together hundreds of times. Same thing with Tedros. Tedros, some Ethiopian Marxist warlord, basically is involved in all of this market manipulation and these vaccines. He's bowing down to China for maybe a lot of reasons, but he has a really close relationship with Bill Gates, as does bin Talal. As does, and when you connect royal family like Prince Andrew, right, connected with Jeffrey Epstein, right, it's not that far of a stretch then that Princess Diana he was married to Fergie, right? And then you got Princess Diana hooking up with Dodi Fayed, who was the grandson of Khashoggi, King Mohammed Khashoggi. It's all connected. This thing is so interesting in the way that there are these connections. And there's a photograph of Bin Talal in his, say, 30s, back in the 80s. And guess who's in there but Barack Obama in that picture? And see, so the other part of it is this. Somebody had called in today on my show and asked about this. And the question was, how did the money transfer? And it was this guy named Al Mansour and this other guy named Sutton that basically had the connection. So it goes like this. It goes that there was Barack Obama. He was working with a guy named Percy Sutton, former Manhattan Borough president. He was working with Khalid Al-Mansour, a.k.a. Donald Warden, a principal advisor to one of the world's richest men, Alawid bin Talal, and an anti-Semite. And Alawid bin Talal, his advisor was Mansour. Mansour was friends with Percy Sutton, and they procured the financing of Barack Obama's Harvard education. So it's a chart that's up on my page, on my Facebook page. But it's interesting. There's hundreds of photographs of Jamal Khashoggi with Bin Talal. And Bin Talal is a dangerous man. He was going to buy the Plaza at one point. He went into partnership with Bill Gates with Four Seasons. But and he has even a connection where he bought Donald Trump's boat. You know, so this guy has been doing a lot of stuff for a lot of years, but there's a reason why King Solomon, and I mean Crown Prince Solomon, put him up and arrested him in jail. And I think it happened twice, actually, but once it was made the news in a big way. We heard about all these billionaire princes that were held up in the Carlton. And this happened pretty much in the wake of the Riyadh speech. If you recall, there was this big Riyadh speech where they were gathering up and there was a call for peace. And they were saying all the 50 leaders in the region needed to denounce radical Islam. And they did on Trump's behalf. Then Trump flies over to Israel, first flight from Riyadh to Israel. And he ends up eventually moving the embassy to Jerusalem. So what Trump has done in the Middle East has been huge. And Lindsey Graham has opposed Trump every step of the way, crying the blues over Khashoggi, disagreeing with Trump pulling out of Syria, you know, and trying to ruin our relationship with Crown Prince Bin Salman, right? Mm-hmm. So you know, there is this connection there. And you got to wonder why it is. I think it does connect up to Ukraine at some point.
I was going to ask about the Ukraine because you're mentioning names now that are spilling over in that area, including Obama himself. Because you're probably talking about a time frame when Obama was actually Senator Obama as well. In terms of any kind of relationship that may have involved even gun running.
Right.
The senator from Illinois to the U.S. Senate.
Well, Erdogan plays a key role because Erdogan is pretty much the connection between NATO and the Middle East and Northern Africa. And he plays another connection between pipelines going into Europe and into the Middle East. And that's in a large part what the Syrian conflict was about. That and destabilizing Israel's northern neighbor and their southern neighbor. Egypt was destabilized when they tried to instill Muslim Brotherhood Morsi.
Right.
And Israel's northern borders Syria, and that was destabilized through the conflict where we have already heard Obama say that he was strengthening and building and financing ISIS.
Right. We reported that thoroughly. That was back in the day when we did the Liberty Tour and we broke that story about how all that was financed through various, you know, Hong Kong Shanghai Bank, who, by the way, at the time, who was on the board of the directors and who was managing all the inflow of all the cartel money and gun running and so on. And that was James Comey. That's when all that started. That was that whole thing that happened with them. And, of course, then Putin found out about it and started bombing ISIS as they were stealing oil out of Iraq. I mean, this really goes back a long ways for for Agenda 21 Radio, but that's what happened.
Paul, you remember the Helsinki meeting, right?
Yes.
Okay, so you remember when Bill Browder was brought up because Putin was not too happy that he took $1.5 billion worth of assets out of Russia and didn't pay any taxes on it and then donated to the Clinton Foundation.
Right.
That's Bill Browder.
Yeah.
Basically, James Comey's senior advisor on the board. He was the senior board member. James Comey, he brought James Comey in because he wanted the FBI director to be on, in a conflict.
Unbelievable. The Khashoggi thing is what's, all these players playing around. And of course, this is ultimately you can start to see how they really manipulated the Democratic Party so that it would be Obama who would come in and be president in 2000, be elected in 2008, displacing Hillary Clinton. Because remember, in the time frame of the election, if you juxtaposition 2008 to this time frame, the other part of it is that Hillary Clinton was way ahead of everybody, and then there was this upstart Obama, and all of a sudden, boom, Obama comes waltzing in. Remember that? And Hillary's put off. Hillary was supposed to win 2016, and she didn't.
Yeah.
And I think that's where this coronavirus thing really, because we know they're planning for the coronavirus operation as it is, goes back many, many years. What we need to do is connect the dot to this cast of characters you're talking to now to that. Of course, you can do that very easily through Fauci. You can do that.
Right. Right. It's just, and I'm in the middle of researching this, but it's amazing when you see this Jamal Khashoggi and then you listen to the press and you say, he was a reporter for the Washington Post and Trump doesn't care. It's like, no, come on. This guy was cheering when 9/11 happened. He was writing up reports that say we had it coming. Serves us right. this guy is as dirty as they come. And there's Bill Gates sitting just about across the table from him. Jamal Khashoggi and Bin Talal. These are evil people, man. These are evil people. And, on Open Secrets, I bet you could find out how much money Bin Talal gave to Barack Obama. That would be...
Well, the other tell would be WikiLeaks.
What's that?
The other tell would be WikiLeaks as well.
Yeah, right. Well, and then there's that part. There's the Julian Assange, Seth Rich part.
Right.
And right now, we're learning more and more about the FISA. We're learning that Adam Schiff lied because of the 3D classes last week. And we're learning that Devin Nunes was exactly right. He gave a report, and Schiff gave a counter report, right? A response report. And everything that Schiff said was a flat-out lie because we know now that what was underneath the redactions actually involves Sergey Million or something like that, right? His name. And he's going to be one of the people brought up on charges. We heard John Solomon saying last week that he knows for a fact that Durham issued grand jury indictments under seal.
Right.
They're going to be announced probably this week, a handful of them. Still many more to come.
We reported that on a week ago that we recorded on Monday, a week last week, that there had been a grand jury hearing. And that hearing was on Saturday. And Valerie Jarrett and David Axelrod were, in fact, went through the hearing process. They were sequestered. They couldn't talk to one another. They had no idea what was being said in that, one against the other, And now Valerie Jarrett resides in apparently Montreal, Canada, and we don't know where David Axelrod is. But my inside person told me that they gave up a treasure trove of information to the grand jury, which prompted information going from Durham to Barr, and they were going to release. Or I guess they were going to do some indictments that were going to come out on the 16th or 17th of this month. And they said, no, 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 we can't do that because we just got, you know, an information dump, basically. And they had to reconsider a number of other options. But I guess they've kind of gone through that reconsideration that I was talking about on Monday. And according to what you're saying here, it sounds like they're going to come up with something here pretty quick in terms of the indictments. I think they originally were going to produce, but they got more information from, you know, the grand jury hearing, and now they're going to put out something different. That's I haven't talked to my other source, but it would seem consistent with what you're saying.
Well, I think that this attack, this coronavirus, is turned out to be a major attack on, a weapon that's been, you know, used from the globalists against the nationalists, because they're at a point. This is like the most desperate thing that's ever been done. This is sort of like blowing up, you know, the whole thing, you know, burning the house down to the ground, just burning it all down. And that's Cloward and Pivens, man. They say break it down so you could build it back up in the way that you want to do it. Right. That was their formula. That was their thing. Keep in mind, Talal, I think we're learning more and more with each thing that we're doing. These citizen journalists like you've been talking about. But Talal owns Twitter. He owns a big, huge stake in Twitter, Lyft, AOL, Apple. But with Lyft, Valerie Jarrett's on the board of Lyft and, you know, Netflix and things like that. So they're very much in control with the power. But I think that one of the things that's happening, too, is that President Trump understands that we cannot wait to start pulling the trigger and swinging the baseball bats, because Phil Haney just got murdered, right?
Mm-hmm.
About Phil Haney, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And your listeners do too, right?
Oh, so yeah. Our listeners know about Phil Haney.
There might be a connection here. I was listening to Jason Goodman about this, and there was some reporting going on that there's a connection with Phil Haney and this coronavirus, believe it or not. And I have yet to fully get into the details of that. But I think it's going to involve Gates and Talal and the connections with the radical Islam and San Bernardino, you know, all that stuff that he was talking about, Phil Haney knew about. And he knew the underlying reason why that was actually allowed to happen. And it was about expunging records and things like that, and deleting the databases of known threats in our country. You know, you know about that, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's off into a different tangent, but...
Oh, yeah, we know about it.
Another murder.
I wouldn't say, you know, as I start to look at things now, because you mentioned San Bernardino and that whole area, you know, you have the I-10 corridor there where you have a lot of Indian reservations, and these have been known places in which CIA operations have been conducted. But people like Tim Osman showing up in that area, and the workings of Iran-Contra and that sort of thing back in the 80s were something that was very big. I guess the question is there a Khashoggi that's related to all that stuff? Now, you know who Tim Osman is. He was working as a – this person was a CIA agent working sort of, you know, by that name. But his real name is Osama bin Laden, and he was working carefully with these or closely with these Indian reservations in the 80s and 90s, until ultimately till 2001, of course, he became the, of course, with the Russians and the missiles and all that other good stuff, that all tied into that. But it also tied into San Bernardino, the shooting. So my question is, is there a Khashoggi that's related to any of this stuff here, like the San Bernardino shootings or any of that stuff with Osama bin Laden?
That, I think, is going to be a connection that's going to be made.
Right.
There's another murder too, Paul, and that is Maeve Kennedy Townsend McKean. The body of Maeve Kennedy Townsend McKean. She's a 40-year-old. She's the granddaughter of Robert Kennedy. Her uncle is Robert Kennedy Jr. Now, President Trump was going to put together a vaccine committee, and Bill Gates was going to be on that committee. And Bill Gates said, I don't want any part of it if Bobby Kennedy Jr. is going to be part of it. Why? Because Bobby Kennedy Jr. opposed vaccines.
Right.
He was an anti-vaccine guy. And I believe that Trump thinks that I know that Trump has spoken up against vaccines, and there's been some reporting in that Barron, you know, may have even had, you know, a little bit of Asperger's on the fringe as related to a vaccine problem. Mm-hmm. Vaccines have caused Asperger's in some regard. There's studies that suggest that, right? You're familiar with that, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, so, and, you know, autism spectrum and all that other good stuff.
So of this Kennedy woman being murdered, well, they say that she's an expert swimmer, that she went off on a canoe to get a ball, and she never returned with her son. And she was dead. Now, the thing is, she disagreed with her uncle. She was a big vaccine person involved with Bill Gates and everything that Bill Gates was doing. But she ends up dead like that mysteriously. I don't even know what the angle would be, but it smells fishy, no pun intended. And then you got Phil Haney also upping dying. And I think that what's going to happen is, just like, you know, you go back to the Revolutionary War, where the troops were cold, blisters, needed new boots, clothes, yep, new weapons. They needed some support systems. And I think that what's happening is the citizen journalists that we talk about and Trump's army of researchers, Q, and all of these things, I think we're at our you know, we're struggling with fatigue because of all of these different attacks. And one of the things that's happening is, I've always said on my show, you cannot have socialism if you have a strong, working, vibrant middle class.
That's correct. And absolutely correct.
That, because those are the people that actually think for themselves. They're on the margins. They make up their own mind. They revolt against higher taxes and bigger government. So the problem is, this virus is collapsing their ability to even pay the rent, right? I mean, they're collapsing under the weight of this pressure. And I don't think that Trump thought for one moment that they were going to hit the red button with the nuclear bomb. Their nuclear bomb was this coronavirus. And this thing, you know, you could see the way these governors are making these decisions. I mean, in Venice, to put sand over a skateboarding pit is ridiculous.
Well, they did that all up and down the coast, which I thought was kind of interesting. You know, I mean, I've surfed many of those beaches on the coast. I find it very interesting that they're taking and doing those sort of things right now to those, you know, those pits. And of course, they're attacking the most rebellious of people, skateboarders and surfers and, you know, that sort of thing, because they're fining surfers. If you go out and surf in some places, they're fining you $1,000 to be in the water because you're apparently passing a virus.
But now, 98% of the people that are dying of this virus are over 75.
Well, these sure. Are there's not many people dying. That's the death rate's very low. I mean, it's just like a typical flu season. Even Fauci admits that. So yeah. What's all the hype and hoopla for? It's the One World Order agenda.
Or you can go out in a canoe in Michigan, but you can't go out in a motorboat?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's that sort of thing. And now I understand, it's kind of interesting, but I guess in Montana, if you're ready for this one, that in Montana, they're saying that if you want to go out and buy certain foods, you have to wear a certain armband. What's that
again,
about?
The liberal governor, Phil Haney, you know, basically laughed and chuckled and said, I wasn't thinking of the Bill of Rights when I, you know, told people they couldn't do stuff.
What do you mean Murphy? Murphy.
Phil Haney, right? Yeah. Phil Murphy, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's ridiculous. And where, you know, where they were taking license plates was Eric Simmons in Greenville, Mississippi, in Kentucky, the liberal Democrat governor, Beshear. And, you know, you got Whitmer in Michigan. You got Gavin Newsom in California. And there's even a liberal governor in Nevada.
Yeah.
And Montana.
Sisolak. Yeah. Sisolak was one of the governors who first banned the sale of chloroquine.
I'm surprised that Montana had a liberal governor.
Well, it says here, this is from the website, just popped up. Red State Talk Radio. It says, it begins, Montana County demands citizens wear government-issued armbands to shop at grocery stores. It says, we thought it was a spoof in the article. It says, it's not. Montana County's mandating citizens to wear a pink wristband to go shopping at grocery stores, and the band represents the person's has quarantined for 14 days. There you go.
Well, and that flies in the face of Fauci as well, because Fauci said, even if you were to get tested today, that doesn't mean that when you walk out your door, you didn't just get infected and can pass it. So, you know, you get tested and you say, oh, I'm negative. Great. And you walk out of the hospital where you just got tested and you touch a pole. Now, next thing you know, 4 days from now, you're infected. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't make any sense. The solutions to the problems don't make any sense. And you got Nancy Pelosi saying, you know, that you have to stay indoors. And people, she frowns on these protesters. But Dan Bongino said this. He said a really good thing. He said, you know, there are people that show up and work heavy machinery where if they don't take proper precautions, those machines can kill them in a second. If you're a welder and you don't wear your mask, you'll go blind in a minute, you know? So what I'm saying is that they're acting like, you know, if you're a landscaper, you can't do your job. You can't go and just go and mow the person's lawn and move on. There's no distance. That is social distancing. It doesn't make any sense, is my point, to put a landscaper out of business when they are absolutely in no threat. Nobody's using common sense here. And I think that's the point that the president's trying to make, is that we need to actually use common sense. And, you know, last I checked, I don't think Maxine Waters is, and Nancy Pelosi and Ocasio-Cortez and Ilhan Omar and Rashid Tlaib have the benchmark on wisdom. Yet they're the ones that are controlling us.
No, the benchmark on wisdom, no, they don't. Great comment. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's like we've been figuring things out for so long. I mean, a doctor puts on gloves, you know, when they go do their work, you know, and if you're in a micro lab working on semiconductors, you wear a mask and gloves and everything, goggles, safety goggles. We wear safety goggles. We wear safety masks when we weld. We take all kinds of precautions every day when we go to work and when we cross a street and when we do these things. And if you set us guidelines, and we'll be happy to oblige them, right? But don't tell me that I don't have a Bill of Rights anymore. You can't tell me that. Because we have a right then to go to court and litigate this thing. And I think that's really the next step.
Oh, sure.
Is litigation.
Yeah, we're going to start to see a lot of that. So we're getting more intelligence about what we were talking about before with the Khashoggis. Adnan Khashoggi, is that a name that's you're familiar with?
Yeah, Imad. Imad, E-M-A-D, Khashoggi. He is the one
that's... This is Adnan, A-D-N-A-N, Khashoggi.
What's that?
Adnan, A-D-N-A-N.
That's Imad. And he was the weapons dealer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And software, software person having something to do with software.
Well, there's Adnan... Khashoggi sold the yacht to the Sultan of Brunei. That's who sold it, Adnan. And Adnan was the, I believe he was the father of Imad. Let's see, he was, yeah, he's a little older.
Mm-hmm.
His exact age in front of me. But this Khashoggi thing, okay, if you look up Jamal Khashoggi and his connection with Talal, Talal is connected with a lot of powerful people in the world. And their connections to the royal family with Dodi Fayyad and even bin Talal is enormous. And then they have a connection with Jeffrey Epstein. And then you got Prince Andrew. So this is everything you would expect, that the Rothschilds and the royal family are connected with, you know, the Saudi princes and kings. And it's all about the money, you know, and it's deeply rooted. And we see how this comes down, that they are part of the globalist agenda. And it's this whole thing related to, you know, what's happening with Boris Johnson, which I think it's ironic. I think it's actually more than ironic, actually. It's manipulated that we don't know what cured Boris Johnson. Do you?
No. I mean, he doesn't say anything about chloroquine.
been researching this, and nobody will reveal what his treatment was. I think that's absolutely the one question that everybody wants to know. How did you beat it? What did you take? What worked for you?
Well, and you know, I got to tell you, because you know, Scott, I was extremely sick in January, December, January, February. You know, lingering effects, and it was clearly this, you know, virus. I mean, everybody and all the other people in my immediate circle, we all had it. Basically, that was earlier before that was a so-called pandemic. We were sick. I mean, really sick. But it still takes you weeks to recover from it. I get that. And you know, when I got it, I didn't know what it took over so suddenly. I did call the doctor, and they said, "Stay home, don't come to us. Stay home," because I think they were concerned about contagion, basically, that they were dealing with at the time. But they didn't know what it was. But when I think of Boris Johnson, I listen to him, and I see how really the weeks that went by, none of it makes sense to me. And he doesn't issue a cure. He talks a little bit about his therapy nurse or whatever she was to him. It doesn't make a lot of sense. And that's the same thing with Tom Hanks and his wife. Same thing. They don't seem to have been real sick by it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm telling you, Paul, this whole thing, you know, smells like a rat. It smells like
a rotten rat.
We're going through. And, you know, it's something we're going to remember for the rest of our lives. It had no business. I think that the whole thing. But, you know, a lot of people question, why did Trump even, you know, adhere? You know, the guy that did the models is this guy named Ali Madcock, right?
Mm-hmm.
Madcock from IHME. This guy's been getting models wrong since the beginning. Like, he's never gotten a model right. But, you know, it's one thing to err on the side of caution. It's the other to err on the side of caution to the point where you don't have a finite window of being on error. Like, it's at some point, yes, you could tank the whole economy. The people that are losing their health care, that are going to wind up in the street, that's going to ultimately end up decreasing their lifespan by 10 years. There's going to be people that are committing suicide. There's going to be businesses that are never coming back. Neiman Marcus just filed for Chapter 11. And there are so many businesses just aren't even going to pop back up. And I'm telling you, the scars that are going to be left behind from this attack on our society, and that's the way you got to look at it. We have to look at this. And I'm telling you that Trump's army is really gotten a punch in the gut. And Trump understands that. I believe he does. He did lose his center-right media, and that's why, you know, he is complicit with these deep staters right now, because he knows he's going to give them the rope to hang themselves, just like you always say.
Mm-hmm.
But, and you know, that's what he's doing right now. With
Burks. Yeah, he's got it all strung out.
But the key, though, is he's going to have to now start dropping hammers, because one of the things this has successfully done as well, not just with the rallies and all these other things, but it's prevented Trump from and his side. Like, Ron Johnson was going to have committee hearings. Nope, that didn't happen. And then, you know, Lindsey Graham, the good for nothing that he is, going to have committee hearings too. Nope, that's not going to happen. The investigation into Hunter Biden and Joe Biden, that was supposed to happen. Nope, that's not going to happen. And I'm telling you, this has been a weapon. Every aspect of this has actually helped the deep state and does nothing for Donald Trump. It does nothing for his rallies. It does nothing. Well, despite all that, he's actually still out fundraising. His fundraising went up in the first quarter of 2020 by 36% over the fourth quarter of 2019. Go figure. So that's interesting.
Well, you know, I'm really more optimistic as days go by, because there's more information, more people digging up information than ever before, you know, about the cast of characters and the deep state and Nancy Pelosi and these folks. And there's just tons of stuff going on. And I don't think that it's going to be an easy road for the deep state. I really don't. And I think it's going to get tougher for them than it is for us. But I do think that this so-called wartime footage that we have right before our very eyes and I say footage and footing or footage, not in the video sense, is a real one. I really believe that. I really believe there's a potential for war with China, if not in the near future, certainly out there 6 to 7 months from now. I really believe, and I think we need to be aware of that. If they go to this extreme of dropping a bioweapon such as what we've seen here, and by the way, this has all been contrived over years. The planning is pretty evident by that, by the information that we've been able to pull up, you know, since the 80s, this whole thing has been contrived. But they've finally done it. They've finally pulled it off. They've got the president where they think they want them or us. I think they're going to clearly fail because they don't have the right president. They thought they were going to be doing this operation with Hillary Clinton. Could you imagine with Hillary Clinton what it would be like? They should be giving them carte blanche everywhere.
Oh,
everything.
Disaster.
Yeah.
But also, you brought up China, and we got a minute maybe, right?
Yeah, we have about a minute and a half. Go ahead.
You know, it brings new light onto what the heck was going on with Captain Crozier and
yes.
Theodore Roosevelt, because over 500 people got sick off that ship because he let the people go off into Vietnam and roam around and get back on a ship and brought the virus on. The problem with that ship is, you know, kind of like, you know, being scrubbed, and it's no longer and it left a void and a vacancy in the Asian
right.
Peninsula there. That was our big aircraft carrier. That was a nuclear aircraft carrier.
Right.
That weakened our footing in that area. And from what I hear, China is actually aware of that, and they've made some steps to actually create some extra footing, as you said,
right,
that region.
Well, you know, as a response to that, we've pulled back all of our military assets and brought them home. Because they're worried about first strike and losing, you know, the B-52s, the B-1s, which have really had to pick up the pace. You know, they've been flying B-52s in pairs all up and down the area, taking over the duty, basically, of the Theodore Roosevelt. But now, because they're worried about first strike capability, they've brought everything back home. That was just over the last 3 days they've been doing that. I can tell you the bases, but I'm not going to do that. But this has been a direct response to the Chinese threat there. And, of course, that's why they're a threat to us. Anyway, Scott, tell us how we can get a hold of you and the great work that you're doing at Red State Talk Radio.
Yeah, well, redstatetalkradio.com and scottadamsshow.com. Please check me out on social media. Follow me on Twitter, Scott Adams Show.
Awesome. Scott, thanks a lot for being with us, brother.
All right. Thank you, Paul.
Bye. Take care. Scott Adams of the Scott Adams Show. He's on before us. From 8 to 9 on Red State Talk Radio on the East Coast. And, of course, if it's on the West Coast, you're from 5 to 4. 5 to 6, excuse me, 5 to 6, if I can get those numbers straight in my head right now. Anyway, thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit newcaliforniastate.com. Newcaliforniastate.com, there's just so much going on right now over there, and we really welcome your participation with New California. And we've got a lot to do. We have a lot to do on New California, and we welcome your participation. All you need to do is fill out the form and go from there. So anyway, we got, like I said, a lot of things coming back tomorrow. We got just some real incredible stories. We'll be talking about all the different places in which people are protesting. I really suggest, you know, we just picked up this story that was on Red State Talk Radio just now, that the Montana now requiring armbands or wristbands if you're going to be shopping. You have to wear a pink wristband outside. This is Nazi-esque, guys. This is what the Nazis, over nothing. It's a hoax. We need to stand in defiance and not participate in the hoax because they want to take away our liberties. This is the time in which we must do that. Anyway, thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember, stay strong, America. We are exceptional Americans.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
You're listening to Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio. Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.